statutes.
Not by the flag that's hanging in the courtroom.
Right. And, you know, if you want to take a look at the statutes that establish the various courts in the various states, you know, look at your judicial code and the various state codes.
All right, different article courts. You know, you've got the Supreme Court's created by the Constitution, and then under Article 1, the Congress is given the authority to create all the inferior courts. What's the distinction between Article 3 courts and other courts?
Well, there are Article 1 courts. The tax court is an Article 1 court. But, you know, what the Constitution authorizes is Congress to create courts, and they've done so. And if you want to see the codification of the various acts that have created court, turn to Title 28, United States Code.
Right.
And starting in there, you'll find an alphabetical order. And, of course, Alabama is the first state alphabetically. So I think we're section number 84, 28 U.S.C. section 84. And it'll cite you to, it'll say these are the courts that are created, the federal courts that are created in Alabama. It'll cite you to the statutes at large where that act appears. And all the U.S. district courts, the creation of them is set forth therein. And then, of course, not only do you have an act that creates the court, but you also have acts that establish jurisdictions for court.
Right.
And, you know, that's just simply a matter. You can look at it, Title 28, and see what jurisdictions the Supreme Court has, because that's set forth in the Supreme Court section. You can see what jurisdiction the courts of appeals have, because that's pretty expressly set forth in the sections dealing with that subchapter of Title 28 dealing with the courts of appeals. And then the subchapter dealing with the district courts, there's a section in there that deals with the jurisdiction that they have.
All right.
The same thing is repeated nationwide or countrywide. Regarding the various courts across America.
Okay, that's simple enough, isn't it?
Yeah, and a flag is nothing more than a decoration in the courtroom. A flag doesn't confer jurisdiction. Although there was a fellow by the name of David Miller, that went around years ago. You know, he concocted this thing. Oh, you know, it's an Admiralty flag, and you know, it's a warship flag, and you know, so they're flying it in the courtroom, and that's you know, an indicator of admiralty jurisdiction and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, I've had people tell me stories about they went into court pro se and made these objections. The judge said, oh, okay, we'll take it out. Just yesterday, I ran into a fellow up in Nashville. Had to run up there to bail somebody out. And the same thing happened to him. You know, he raised those objections. Judge says, okay, we'll take it out of the courtroom. You know, or pick one.
Yeah, well, now no flag. What does that mean?
Well, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, right. But see, that's you know, these are some of the. This is what I'm not out to offend anybody here. Obviously, we're. You know, I think the fact that Larry and I are both concerned about the welfare of everyone involved, and that they're not misled into some of these train wrecks that he's been describing for us. But these things are just dangerous things to get into and to put your weight on.
Absolutely.
U.S. went bankrupt, sold England.
Well, that goes along with ACR 192. You know, ACR 192 was merely a resolution declaring it to be against the public policy of the United States to pay in gold. And so what you have is a suspension of specie payments. ACR 192 is really, you know, special law, so to speak. The benefit that it confers is that, you know, banks at that time were required to redeem their obligations. You had national banks and Federal Reserve banks that had obligations to pay their notes in actual specie coin. And so because of what was going on back in those days, I'll tell you what was happening. When 1929 comes along, the Federal Reserve banks have the great ability to expand credit. And they expanded credit. They contracted credit to destroy the agricultural industries in 1920. I've got that posted over on my website. They deliberately contracted credit.
But Larry, did this act actually declare bankruptcy, and was the United States sold to England and now under English rule?
No.
I couldn't find that part. We've run into another break here. And when we get back, we're going to start taking some of your calls. Here on the Life Free Zone, the number, if you want to call in, is 800-313-9443.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
And welcome back. Here we are in the second leg of the Live Free Zone. We've got Larry Breedcraft on with us. And just a couple of points that I'd like to make before we take our first call, Larry, is that I feel a little bit slighted because I've learned that all the other lawyers got to take a secret oath, and I didn't get to take one. That lawyers are actually out trying to harm people and help take away their freedom, and they've got some sort of oath. What do you know about that? Because I got left out of.
Tommy, did you get your check from Queen Elizabeth this week?
No, I didn't.
Well, I've never gotten one either. I just wondered if you were behind schedule or not.
Yeah, because then I was told that I was a member of the British Accreditation Registry or Admiralty Registry, and that I had sworn an oath to the Queen of England.
I've got that address over on my website. You know, the only oath I've ever taken is to support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Alabama. And then when I submit a pro hoc vici application or get admitted to a different bar in a different place, you know, I might swear allegiance to, the local state, too. But, you know, the only allegiance I've ever sworn to is the constitutions of the United States and some of the various individual states, including Alabama.
Well, I guess that's why you and I are fighting so much against this and trying to restore the Republic, because we just didn't get the memo.
That is true. But, Tommy, that gets back to these people that were talking about we're Brits. You know, I just can't believe, I can't let this pass.
All right.
An argument was started years ago about we are still Brits. And, you know, when you sit down and you analyze all that, the fundamental premise of a lot of these arguments, you can isolate. And invariably, it's kind of like with some of these arguments, you know, they're fundamentally premised upon this underlying assumption. Oh, the Act of 1871, you know, it does thus and such, without ever providing the cite to it. It's just accepted as gospel. It's the truth. And, of course, the We Are Brits people said, oh, there's this treaty of 1782 whereby the King of England loaned us money to fight him. Well, you know, all of that was a bunch of hogwash because the treaty in question that they're talking about, which incidentally is posted on the Internet, on a government website, was where we borrowed money from the French. And, you know, so what these people did is they lied about the nature of that particular treaty in order to build an argument.
In other words, just modified history. You know, another one like that is this notion that the Constitution was only formed to provide a president for the United States and a constitution to rule and regulate the territories in D.C., but not the states because they already had a constitution, didn't need one. To begin with, some of the states did not have constitutions at that time, but none of them had a constitution. They covered all of the states. The states were all independent sovereigns at the time. In the second place, the United States didn't have, they weren't already members of the United States, as these people claim, because there was no United States to be a member of. It didn't come into existence until the adoption and ratification of the Constitution. And then they go, I mean, just these things, if you just look at your history books, you have to realize that some of these things are why I tell people, don't eat that Elmer, spit it out, and it will wash your hands.
Well, a lot of it can be refuted by actually turning to, you don't have to look at history for a lot of this.
I mean, a lot of it isn't even, if you just look at their story, I mean, you realize that the whole basis or premise for the argument isn't even historically accurate.
Well, you know, even for that, you can turn to actual legal documents
and see where it said something completely different.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a couple of calls. Let's start with Michael in Ohio. Michael, are you with us today?
Hello, you there?
Yeah, we're right here. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. I'm doing fine. I've just had the pleasure of visiting Mr. Beecraft's website several times. Probably ought to let people know you have it out there. And I've been paying a little bit of attention to your case, Mr. Cryer. And I think that's a very noble thing that you're trying to do, and I hope your legalism will get you through it.
Well, thank you. But, you know, you just have to make your call, and then you have to make the best of it. But I picked this final as much as they did, so I'm not complaining. But, you know, and I do appreciate all the help and all the support that I'm getting from a lot of folks out there. So what's your question for Larry today, Mike?
Well, actually, I have a question for both of you, not so much in regards. I want to confirm for all those out there, because I once started out as an Irwin Schiff student, and I'm not disgruntled, or I don't feel bad about what Irwin Schiff tried to teach me, because I knew nothing before I heard of him anyway. I grew beyond what he said. But that most people haven't a clue as to what to do out there, and unless they really know what they're doing, they're going to end up in jail, basically, or in real dire straits. And I think a lot of the information you guys have to say is very great. My question, though, in regards to a letter that I once received from Senator Mike DeWine here in Ohio, I gave this question earlier. I've asked this of every attorney I've ever talked to, and a lot of people, because it's a good conversation starter. But the answer to the question was the source of our freedoms is the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Would you guys agree with that?
No, the rights come from God.
You're endowed with your rights and your freedom by your Creator, and right. You're endowed with your right to equal treatment with all other citizens by your Creator. The Constitution merely prohibits and forbids the government from abusing those rights. Am I right, Larry? You agree with me on that?
Yeah, let's call them inalienable rights, too.
Inalienable in that you can't even contract them away. You know, I've been told, too, that's another one, is that because I've got a Social Security number, I contracted my inalienable rights. rights away. You cannot contract away, sell, or you donate your inalienable rights.
Yeah, I think Thomas Jefferson said that. You know, there's no way. It's detrimental for everybody else, for one person to go into slavery himself, to convey away his inalienable rights. So the society at large says nobody can do it.
Well, if I can make this point just real quick.
All right.
Is that you're the first two attorneys that I've ever spoken to that have ever answered that question properly. And every attorney that I've spoken with, I've embarrassed them when I said, how are rights that are self-evident ever granted or given to people? And they don't know what to say.
Well, I'm going to have to admit to you that I find about 90% of the attorneys out there are embarrassments. But go ahead.
Yeah, but if I could just finish my point, is that because the attorneys think like that, so many of the people think like that. And so when they start trying to get involved in a legalized process, they don't even know what the basis of their freedom is in the first place. And they get all off these offshoot theories, as you guys are talking about, and they can never possibly win because they don't know who they are in the first place.
That is true.
That's well said.
And
well,
I thank you guys, and I appreciate you letting me have my conversation with you.
Well, we're happy to have you.
Wish you success, Mike.
Bye-bye.
I'll tell you what, Larry, I'm also encouraged that that Mike went another step two beyond, and as he pointed out, he went past the shift teachings. You learn what you can from one and then go find out more. Because, you know, Irwin dug up some bones. He didn't get the whole skeleton, let alone get enough to do an autopsy. But he dug up some real bones. I mean, so you take that, you put it with something else, and you find out what else there is. But I'm glad he went by that, and I think that passed and satisfied himself for whatever it is he's going to believe.
Well, Mike also mentioned the need for unity, too.
Yeah, Tommy.
That's critically important. We have, you know, I look across the freedom movement, and you just got scattered pockets of unorganized people, and everybody's just kind of off on their own. And, you know, if the people, you know, there's power and might in people banding together.
Absolutely, absolutely. Not only that, but it's the only way. The government fears none of us, but it fears all of us. And, you know, whenever enough of us stand up and say, we're not going to be treated this way, you're going to follow the law. We're not going to follow your rule. We're going to follow the rule of law in this country. And we're going to, the first law in this country is the United States Constitution. And, you know, if enough people stand up and say, hey, I found my hind legs, look at me, then they're going to listen because they do fear all of us. They don't fear any of us, but they fear all of us. You agree with that?
Oh, absolutely true. That's the reason why there's got to be reunity. And there's a lot of movements that don't want unity either.
And I get it. Just last week we had a caller was talking about, I realize this is out of the box. Now, we have the truth is on our side on these issues. The Constitution is on our side, and the law is even on our side on these issues. Why do we have to go outside the box when we have all of that going for us? And we can just, it's simple. It's not rocket science. We don't have to turn it into some convoluted, twisted, complex theory and a bunch of extended arguments. We just need to stand up and be united in one message and in one point and keep saying it until the government gets it.
So true. And unity is very important. Remember what the back before the, back in the late 70s and early 80s, the union workers in Poland got together. And what was the fellow's, the leader's name, Lech Walesa?
Lech Walesa. Yeah, and Solidarity.
Yeah, and they unified, and guess what? They destroyed communism there.
They actually drove out a communist dictatorship, which I don't know if they had as much regulation then in Poland as we have now here, but they did drive it out, and they did free the people.
And here recently, what is it, in the Ukraine? You know, we had the Orange Revolution. They had this battle over there. There was a prime minister running for office that had a lead, you know.
Yep, and now, yep, you're right, Larry. We're running into another break. We've got Paul in Michigan. Has been holding a long time. We're going to get to him when we get back here on the Live Free Zone with Larry B. Kraft. Thanks.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Free Zone. We're having a great time today. We're talking to Larry B. Craft, nation's foremost authority on the income tax law, monetary law, and the historical and constitutional issues in connection with those. And we're talking about, for the most part, dangerous false theories. But we finished up the last segment talking about people getting united and behind an issue and making it a loud, clear, unified voice. And I think that it can't help but think about the truckers out there that are really between a rock and a hard place, and they're not going to sit there on their hands and do nothing. They're actually getting up and doing something about it. Oppressive and excessive regulation and rule of manufacturers have driven them out of the country. And but you can't drive the truckers out of the country by importing competition that isn't subject to those restrictions. And you know how many restrictions there are on truckers that they have to do in order to qualify and to stay in business. And yet they're going to bring in a whole horde of truck drivers to compete with them that don't have any restrictions and don't have to comply with all of these. And so when they stand up for that, I've got to admire them for that. And I've I'd love to see the tax community, or you know, the tax honesty community, stand up and be just as vocal as they are. Larry, we left off with that. Did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Oh no, could I disagree with you a little bit on what you just said about the trucker strike?
Yeah.
Well, I disagree with you on that. I think what we have here is an equal protection problem. You know, the Mexicans coming into this United States as, you know, particularly if they're not even coming in on a visa or a passport, those guys are subject to the power of Congress.
Well, of course they are.
And,
of course they are subject, but the provisions for this new allowing truckers in, as I understand it, and I could be wrong, I haven't researched it, but all I know is what I've read, but it appears that they're not going to subject all these trucks coming in from Mexico to OSHA inspections and Department of Transportation inspections, and they're not going to subject them to rigorous commercial and truck driving training requirements and licensing requirements.
Have I
been misinformed?
No. I agree with you, but doesn't that create an equal protection problem? Absolutely
it does. Absolutely
yeah.
It does. I think that's all the more reason for them to jump up and down.
Yeah, absolutely. So they're
Here they're being subjected to things that, and there is, like you said, once they cross that border, they're subject to the same law, just like when we go to Mexico, we're subject to their laws. You know,
what Congress is doing is, what's happening is that those guys are getting preferential treatment. In their favor, why should law prefer one class of, you know, hey, I can see to Congress can pass laws regarding truckers. However, when you divide the truckers up, there is no rhyme or reason, and isn't that the heart of equal protection analysis? No rhyme or reason for making a distinction between subclasses of truckers and giving preferences of one over the other.
Not only is it the heart of equal protection, but it's heart of something near and dear to both you and me, and that's the rule of law. Because if law is going to rule one, it has to rule all. If it doesn't rule all, it's not ruling. And instead, some agreement or some policy is overriding the law for some, and while some keeping the others subject to it.
Right.
And that's dead wrong. It's dead wrong. And I'm glad they're standing up for it, or not taking it sitting down.
And I hope that it's successful, and I hope that other people watch the success that they achieve by being unified.
And by being all in one voice, and all acting in concert. And if they can see that, then maybe it'll give our community of people trying to get the truth out about the tax laws the courage and encouragement to get up and do the same. We've got a caller been waiting for a long time. Paul, I apologize for taking so long to get to you, but we've just got a lot to talk about, son. How are you doing?
Good. You?
I'm doing great. Good. All things considered.
I didn't know I could talk on here, but anyway, I was given the number to call to just listen. I just want to both encourage you both, what you're doing. Larry, for years, you, I don't know how long, Tommy, but I just want to encourage you the most because you're the front line to this thing, and I've been in it about 10 years. I'm learning every day yet, and I'm just listening to you talk about grouping together. What I found out in the whole movement, I'm sure you have, is that no one agrees hardly. Everyone has their own theory.
But there are things that everybody does agree on. There are a couple of things that everybody does agree on, and one of those is that there's no liability provision in the code.
Right.
You know, for the internal revenue, there's a liability provision, but it's for those withholding taxes on non-resident aliens.
Right. Well, they're all headed in the same direction.
Yeah, and that's what they need to do. They need to line up. And I've made the comment a while back to somebody that right now what we're doing is we're pounding on a dragon with a cardboard box. But if you take the same amount of wood, put it all behind one point, you have an arrow.
Right. All right.
We're going to take a break here. I'm so sorry we were so short and taking so long to get to you, Paul, but we've got others behind you, and we're going to try to get to them before we run out of time here at the Live Free Zone.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Welcome back to the Life Free Zone with our very special guest today, Larry Beecraft, attorney from Huntsville, Alabama, who knows a lot more about a lot of this tax movement than I do. Larry, let's just run on straight into the next caller, because we've got them lined up here, and we've got just a short amount of time left, if you don't mind.
Let's hit them.
Oh, let's go get them. All right, Dan in Texas is next up. Dan, how are you doing today?
Just fine, Tommy. Good to hear both of y'all. Two quick questions. Is the obligation to pay an income tax voluntary? If it is voluntary and people refuse to do so or volunteer not to pay, by what mechanism are they imprisoning people for failing to do so? Secondly, similarly, by what mechanism, short of a constitutional declaration of war, does Congress claim to have the authority to allow a president to attack another country simply on a resolution? And I'll listen on air.
Well, that, the first one that you had there is a $64,000 question.
Can I answer that?
Yeah, I was just about to pass the buck here.
You know, there's a lot of, you know, Billy Murdoch is this lady back in 1985 that ran across, just for doing some study, and she was going through some of these government documents, and she ran across this statement. But Dwight Avis back in 1953 made a statement, your income tax is 100% voluntary,
right.
Your BATF taxes are 100% enforced. The difference is like night and day.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, you've got a whole bunch of other statements from the government, you know, in the regulations, in manuals, you know, talking about voluntary compliance. And, you know, what that precisely means is, you know, subject to a lot of dispute. Now, some of the people that promote the, you know, it's a voluntary argument, you know, they're just using the dictionary definition of voluntary. Well, to a degree, that might be helpful, you know, particularly if you're approaching a member of the public. But I think it's very important for us to take into consideration and remember, first and foremost, you know, what the legal definition of voluntary means in a tax context. In a legal situation, voluntary means this. If you pay a tax you do not owe without objection, you cannot recover it.
Or derisk.
Right. Now, that, to me, is a far better definition of voluntary when it comes up in this context regarding taxation than using the dictionary definition. Remember what it says. If you pay a tax without objection, a tax that you do not owe, you cannot recover it. Now, that's the legal meaning of it. Now, that is used often to describe how this tax system operates. I mean, you can see courts come along and say, oh, our voluntary compliance. And public officials say, oh, our voluntary compliance. A lot of the people in the tax movement contend that it's something more than just these wimp statements of these public officials that is based on voluntary compliance. I mean, you know, I think the legal definition of voluntary really comes into play. Now, the tax movement comes along and makes arguments about, you know, who is and who is not subject to it. For those that are not subject to the tax, if you're paying it, then it is voluntary compliance.
In the dictionary sense of the term.
Yes. Well, also in the legal sense.
Yeah.
And if you file a return and you're not subject to it, and you make no objections, hey, you can't recover it. You made a voluntary contribution to the National Treasury.
You weren't here for that one, Larry, but a while back a gentleman called in with the same or a similar question and pointed out, well, if this truth comes out, you know, won't the government owe millions and millions back? I said, well, they refund if you don't owe, but if it came down to that, they would invoke their meaning or their law that voluntarily paid by the definition that you just gave is not recoverable. If you paid voluntarily without protest and without duress, then you don't have a right to recover it. They can pay it back if they want to, but they don't have to.
Oh, well, they wouldn't do it, but you've got to submit a claim within 3 years. So if you haven't submitted a claim for at least the last 3 years, then it's impossible to recover it.
Now, on the second question,
declarations of war?
Yeah, declaration of war. Declaration of war, if I understand it, Larry, is a resolution. In effect, I mean, it follows the same process a resolution does in going through Congress.
Well, you know, whether you call some, you know, if you really take a look, you know, a lot of people don't have access to the United States statutes at large, but I've got them all, every volume, and you know, I look at them virtually every day. The statutes at large, virtually, you know, most. If the truth be known, most federal law is a resolution. And, you know, all the tax acts have been by resolutions. But, you know, that doesn't prevent them from, just because they're a resolution, doesn't mean that they're any different from a bill.
Right.
You know, a bill and a resolution are not, at the federal level are not, not substantively different.
They follow the same process.
Yeah, they follow the same process.
Distinction being that if it's regarding, you know, taxes or finances, it has to, or taxes.
It's the House. Right.
Dan, does that answer your question?
Well, I think what he was driving at is the current war in Iraq, you know.
I understand. But, you know, what do you have something to add, Barry, on that?
Well, I agree. You know, I think that this Iraqi war, I think that there have been false facts asserted in order to get us embroiled in that the war over there. However, if you really want to know the truth of the matter is, the last time that there was a declaration of war was World War II. What's happened in the interim is we've joined the United Nations. The United Nations has the objective of doing away with warfare. Well, you know, I would dare say that there's probably, there may have been, since the UN's existence, more warfare than at any other time in history. But we can't label it a war.
That's right.
And so we got to call it a police action because the purpose of the UN.
Everything's a spin.
Yeah,
a spin.
Yeah.
But if you're in it and you're getting shot at, believe me, it's a war.
Right.
Ask
Pat Tillman.
Say again?
Ask Pat Tillman.
Yeah, right. That's my point. If you're the guy that's getting shot at, and you're the guy that's getting hurt, and it is a war. You know, but you know, we had the police action. We've called it a lot of euphemisms for war, but it's still a war when you get down to it. And it's serious business.
And the problem is that the government and Congress can get away with this because really the people have no recognized right to complain about these actions in federal court.
Well, you've got you have the right to stand up and voice your opposition.
That's true.
And whenever we sit quietly, that they're every bit entitled to take that as acquiescence or at least tolerance. And you know, the point is we need to get up and get vocal. And we have more ways now to speak and to be heard than ever before. We're not totally dependent upon the media networks, you know, for information anymore. We've got better ways of communicating and better ways of getting a word, our voice, heard than we've ever had in the history of the world. And we ought to be taking advantage of that. But I thank you for your call, Dan. That was a point. You got a point. Bill in Louisiana, a homeboy. Calling
yeah,
from Bosch, yeah?
Yeah, this is Phil, not Bill.
Phil. Okay.
Yeah, Phil. Phil.
All right.
Okay,
Tom.
I was wondering where you're from. What part of Louisiana? We both kind of stuck down here in the Bayou State.
Well, I grew up in Southwest Louisiana. I grew up on a farm outside Topsy, Louisiana, which if you haven't heard of, that's just outside Gillis, Louisiana. And if you haven't heard of that, that's outside Moss Bluff, Louisiana, where the nearest school was. And that's out just north of Lake Charles.
Well, I know where Moss Bluff is.
Okay, all right.
And I used to play music up at the Port Polk up there, so we made a few trips down around in that area.
I guarantee. Now, but you got a question for Larry today on something.
Yeah, well, I'm a graduate of the George Gordon Barristers Inn School of Common Law. And, by the way, I got 9 wins in court here in Louisiana.
Well, but congratulations.
Thank you. Took a lot of work, though. I even beat one in Golden Meadow.
We need a million people like you.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, well, good luck. We used to have a little group of about 6 of us, and that really helped. But we really do. I mean, the whole thing is so corrupt.
I don't think people have to become lawyers to defend, you know, to know their rights and to speak up for them. I think sometimes they need lawyers to help them get those properly heard. But I think that people can comprehend what their rights are and know when they're in their toes stamped on.
Well, I disagree with you, Tommy. I think most people don't know what their rights are.
Well, no, I think that people can, though. I think that people are capable of understanding it. I agree with you that they do not, but I don't think they have to be lawyers to understand those rights.
No, they don't. In fact, it'd be a whole lot better for all of society if people would know what their rights are.
That's right. And, you know, the Founding Fathers kept pounding that at us. Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, all 3 of them pounded the fact that this republic will be lost if the people are not educated in their civil rights. And right now, people are not. They think that their civil rights consist of getting whatever they need from the government.
Tom, do you have a website?
Yes, I do, and I'm glad you brought that up. Anybody want to know a little bit about me or about the case can do that by going to liefreezone.com, just like the name of this program, liefreezone.com.
That's liefree, L-I-E or L-I-B-E?
L-I-E, F-R-E-E-Z-O-N-E, it's in No Lies Allowed.
FREEZONE.
YouGotIt.com.
Okay.
And, all right. And did you have a question for us today?
Yes, I did. Being that, you know, doing a 100-hour course with George Gordon, I was just wondering what you thought of his stance on income tax, the fact that you can't denounce a system, then try to avail yourself of the benefits of it.
Larry, I'm going to have to let you have that one because I'm not familiar with the program he's talking about.
Well, you know, I respect George. You know, George is, that bunch up there in Idaho, when they got started back in the early 80s, they put out a lot of good material.
Sure,
you know, they educated people about cases. They didn't, you know, I mean, if you bought their courses, you know, what you'd receive is copies of cases and copies of actual stuff. And they sat there and grab your head by their hand and shove your nose in the books. And I agree that that's the correct approach. And that's exactly what they've done. They've taught people read these cases. Now, George comes along, you know, he's a proponent of the argument that, you know, if you do take benefits, that you can't challenge the system. You know, it's predicated on the Ashwander Doctrine. You know, personally, I believe that's a little bit far-fetched. You know, you know, if you come along and you claim that you're subject to all this because you got a Social Security number, you know, I think you do have, if that's the argument, then I do think that any party, if the government ever admitted that that's the case, then you have the argument to make a various attacks upon the Social Security system. Like I was subjected to it, I submitted my application based on fraud. You know, that's a perfectly valid defense. I maintain that the system is jurisdictional. That's a perfectly valid defense. So, you know, I don't...
Well, another one, Larry, would be that, you know, if by entering into this system, I have alienated my inalienable rights, then I want them back because I couldn't alienate them.
Right.
Right. Well, that was what I was thinking. Of course, everybody's got their own little niche that they try to promote.
And that's exactly what we're talking about today, that everybody just needs to get behind the truth. The truth has got to be, I have told clients for 30 years, over 30 years now, that the truth has got to be good enough. If the truth isn't good enough for you to win, then I don't see you winning, and I'm not going to, you know, try to get around that. We've got to live with the truth. Well, the truth is good enough for us to win. So why do we have to get out there and find some other things? You know, the law is in black and white. The Constitution is in black and white. Those Supreme Court cases that tell us, you know, how that's to be applied, they're in black and white.
And the one I love the most is any law to the contrary notwithstanding.
Well, Bill, you'll see that every now and then. But, you know, any law that's contrary for to begin with, and I don't know whether you were making reference to the PRA or the Constitution, but
Constitution.
If it's not valid under the Constitution, if it's in conflict with the Constitution, it's null.
Right.
Supreme Court has said that time and again. At any rate, well, we got to move on.
Thank you very much.
And it's good to hear from a homeboy.
Ian Vanessa.
You betcha. All right, take care, Chef.
All right, Chef.
All right. Okay. And, Larry, what do you think on that? You know anything? You got a comment on that?
Being Vanesta?
No. I'm talking about what my comment was. You got a correction on that. That laws that are in violation of the Constitution are null. We just need to stand up and say so.
Yeah, absolutely correct. Absolutely. You know, it's one way of looking at the system to sit there and say, well, it's done voluntarily. We roped ourselves into it because of all these benefits. But, you know, there was an argument made years ago by Bob Wangrid that came along and says, oh, you know, your use of the zip code, you know, is a benefit, and therefore that subjects you to federal jurisdiction. You know, a lot of these arguments have some gloss to them. But, you know, I ask a simple question. Where in black and white does it say that because you're a beneficiary that makes you subject to it?
Yeah, or that you've lost any rights because of that.
Yeah.
What are your rights worth, and how many benefits would they have to give you to justify your ceding your rights. But let's go to Georgia and talk to Lester and see what he's got on his mind. Lester, how are you doing today?
Hey, how y'all doing over there?
We're doing good.
Yeah, I've been listening here because, you know, I've been trying to take in some of the stuff here. But getting back to the income tax and our constitutional rights, as far as the law, I'm trying to make this short. I understand only Congress had power to enact laws according to the Constitution. I mean, you know, I've been told that federal statutes and codes are not laws if it don't have an enacting clause. I mean, you know, what is your take on that one?
All right, well, Larry, go ahead.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about the enacting clause arguments. You know, there are cases out there that if you do go back and
If it's a substantive deal, it has to stay with Congress, and that line keeps moving as we go along, doesn't it, Larry? All right, and we'll be back in just a few minutes here on the Live Free Zone with Larry B. Craft, our special guest.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the Task Force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, "A penny saved is a penny earned." By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Welcome back. We're about to wrap up this segment of the Live Free Zone. We've got special guest Larry B. Craft on the line with us today. And Larry, I want to thank you for coming on today and taking 2 hours out of your Saturday afternoon to visit with us.
Well, it's been very productive, Tommy.
And I know how passionate you are about, you know, preserving the rule of law, restoring the republic, and it all has to begin right here with this issue. Because this is what's enabled the federal government to outgrow its riches But the 2 points I would like to recap, so because I don't want to run out of time before we do that. 2 points I think, looking back at this program today, are that number one, don't just pick things up and accept them at face value. Do your homework, check them out. Is that a fair assessment of the lesson of these train wrecks and these tinfoil hat brigade concepts that we've been talking about today?
Yeah, you know, anytime you read an argument and it references some historical document or some case or something like that, go check it out. Often you'll find that it's the truth is otherwise. The case doesn't say what it purports to say, and the document, if the document exists, it doesn't say what it purports to be.
And sometimes it's an honest error. I mean, I had a guy send me a case the other day that said so-and-so, you know, and I already was familiar with that case. I've read 100 cases for every case I've cited. But the case didn't hold that. That was in the summary of the arguments of the two sides. And yet they saw that in the body of the case report and mistook it for something the court had said.
Right.
But other times, I think it's a little bit less innocent, but nevertheless, it bears checking out. As a matter of fact, I tell people when they ask me about my memo, don't take it at face value. Satisfy yourself. Go read the cases that are cited in there. Go read the laws that are cited in there and satisfy yourself. Do your homework. The other point that I think that we've tried to drive home today, and I think that I'd love to think, at least, that it's getting across, is that we need to do like the truck drivers, and we need to do like, as you pointed out, the civil rights activists. We need to do like the people in Poland whenever they got a belly full and said, we're not going to take it anymore. We need to stand up and unite and get ourselves behind one single solid message that can't be denied and push it until it gets somewhere.
The freedom movement's got to grow, Tommy. We need more numbers. Right now, the numbers are dwindling. And the only way to get that accomplished is for the people to get off they're sitting on their hands and actually do something. Plus, we have to be unified, and we need to speak with one voice and agree upon one thing that we're going to do, and let's go do it.
And it's not dwindling because of the invalidity of its message or because of the lack of conviction of its members. It's actually dwindling because the government is mounting a concerted campaign to gag anyone who would tell the truth and to shut up anybody and punish anybody for daring to ask.
Yeah, like they did with Irwin Schiff. Can you believe that
he's
come along and said, hey, a book can't be published? The book burners are
the book burners. I get pictures of Nazi Germany coming along here with them marching around the pile of books and videotapes and CDs burning in a bonfire.
Yeah.
And we just have to stand up to that. And it's going to take a lot more of us. You know, there are a lot of us, but it's going to take a lot more of us than we have.
The government's got full-time people that are working on this, all making the attack on the freedom movement every day.
That's a terrific point.
And the people that are in the movement need to be doing something more than spending 15 minutes per week. They got to start doing a little something for the cause of liberty every day. You can make copies or obtain for a buck or so. You know, the DVDs of Aaron Russo's movie, From Freedom to Fascism, pass them out like hotcakes. What's wrong with that?
That's right.
Mr. Congressman,
let's
get off a dead center and get something accomplished rather than cowering in our boots.
Quit asking the IRS to show us the law. Tell the congressman, show me the make them obey the law. It's time to demand that the IRS start obeying the law, and that means the limits of its authority. Because they cannot show you authority for what they're doing to the average working man in this country and the family that he's trying to raise, or woman, for that.